Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Woo! Pretty neat. Amazing time. We honestly don't have time to recount everything that God did on that four-day journey. But Amy's going to start us off, and then we're just going to see where the Lord takes us. Amen? You guys ready to hear from this generation? Because as we do this, I want you to expect an impartation. I really do. From this generation. I really believe, and I told the kids, the young people, I hate even calling them kids, that the adults of our church need to hear what your voice has to say. Amen. So I want you to listen expecting.
I am going to move really fast. Good morning, overcomers. After a powerful conference, how can you not come back overflowing? Remind yourself of who you are, where you are, what you are there for, and remind you of your place and time in this race. What you're doing? What are you doing? Where are you doing it at? What should you be doing? Don't be displaced or be absent-minded to the call and to the time. Good morning is a wake-up call. What went through my mind was, good morning, America. Good morning, Vietnam. All this stuff played through my mind when I come back and it says a wake-up call. What time is it? Esther 4:14 says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Amen. Who are you fighting? Okay, guys, you're going to go against things. You're going to have things come up, but you're not fighting flesh and blood. If you are, then you are being distracted by the enemy. Ephesians 6:12 says, for you, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. But 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Right.
For our weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but of divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Destruction of fortresses. Tearing down those walls. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Remind yourself of your duty and your call. The Spirit of the Lord, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. You might say, hold up, wait a minute, that was Jesus talking. That was his calling. But let me let you know right now, let me set you straight on that. Let me help you out with your way of thinking. John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, because I go to the Father. Vietnam was not known as a war until later. It was also called, it was actually called a police action. When you're in war, you can't actually fight a battle that you don't know that you're actually fighting. They weren't allowed to cross over those borders. But guys, we get to go and storm gates of hell and bring back what is actually ours. Our youth is ours. Our community is ours. We get to take it back. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. The good news is that we already read the end of the book. We know who won the war. We don't know. Vietnam is up in the air. But the thing is, we know who wins this war. Amen. Because the thing is, here you go, guys. We are good news. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Did you know you're God's elect? God is the one who justifies, not man. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised up, who is the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things of present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you awake? Isaiah 61 through 7. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to save a little time. I'm going to go right here and I'm going to say, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Amen. 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 You get to hold it for that side. Carissa, we're talking sitting. Just so I can let you guys know, this looks like the hotel after a day at the conference. Am I lying? Because we don't go to these conferences and then just, you know, have all the tribal wars and fun and jumping around and all this stuff, which we do, and it's fun, it's awesome. Life change happens when you hang out like family. So we get back to the hotel, and some nights we take the guys to one room and the girls to one room. But the last night, I asked the guys at the hotel, I said, hey, I know we can't probably have a banquet room. And he quickly said, no, you'll have to pay for that. I said, well, could we have like the back hallway for a couple of hours? Now, this is like 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I said, just so you know, it's about 25 of us. Can we do that? He said, yeah, go for it. So this is what the hallway looked like, and I wanted to recreate that for you and let you in on conversations with this generation.
Well, good morning.
Got to hold the mic up. It's, yeah,
can you hear me? Yeah, okay. So I guess we were supposed to share one thing that was, like, most important to us about Ford, and he asked us the same question in the hallway, but that's a really hard question, y'all. You saw the video. There were so many good things that went on, so many great things. Worship was beyond anointed. It was just wonderful. But one thing that stood out to me the most was Christine Kane. She is such a wonderful speaker. If you haven't heard her, she has like 1,000 podcasts. You can go look her up. She's wonderful. You should listen to her. But she was speaking about identity and who you are. And she talked about, she's 51 years old. She found out she was adopted at 30. Her mom had always kept it from her because she got adopted very, very young. And her mom gave her her real birth certificate at 30. And she talked about how hard that was to grow up thinking that you had a birth certificate, like you had always seen it. You got it when you were adopted, whatever. And she was like, but I saw my birth certificate and I didn't have a name. It said on there that my mom had no emotional attachment to me, and that was the statement she gave when she gave me away, and they put it on there, and I was a number. She was like, so that's what I found out at 30. She was like, I had no identity, and she was like, along with that, she is really high up, and she's like one of the major organizations that works with sex trafficking. And when she was going around colleges and teaching and talking about that, one of the college professors wrote a note to her, or like evaluation, and it said that she was great and that she had a lot of potential, but she wasn't qualified to do what she was doing, that they thought that certain ways she went about it was just ridiculous, but she, if she changed some of those and conformed to what they thought was necessary, she would be overqualified. So she said she grew up hearing these things, finding out she was adopted, and she said that if she did not find her identity in the Bible and know those facts, that she would have thought she was nothing. Everybody had told her she was unqualified, unnamed, unwanted. And so she talked a lot about finding your identity in God, because if not, you'll conform to what the world says. And so when we talk about it in the hallway, I relate that a lot to our generation. We hear a lot of times, oh, the millennials and their Google, or the millennials and their technology. But I was very grateful, and I was telling them that we have so many adults here. Y'all supported us so much going on this trip, and she talked about, she said, this is a generation for change. And it was great hearing her say that. And Miss Henry Ann made a comment in the hallway that brought that up again in me, because we do have adults that support us and think we're a generation for change. And we're not just millennials, and we don't just say in our technology that we do have a say, and we can change the world, and we can lead other people to Christ, and we're not just separated. So.
Cool. Awesome. All right, who's next?
So one thing that was really big for me at Forward was Reggie Dabbs. He spoke about cutting ties and just giving it all to God, and he had talked about how he was tied to suicide from the time he was 8 years old. His mom gave him up but kept every other kid. I related to that a lot. I've dealt with suicide since I was in eighth grade, and just out of the blue, I don't think it was planned at all, but he called down a altar call. Thank you. Altar call for kids that have been suicidal, and I went down, and they played a Do It Again, and some of the band even got down and prayed for us, and the event staff was praying for us, and we were all just kind of like just holding each other and just huddled up and just crying and crying out to God and just giving it all to God. And I heard a kid behind me praying over all of us. Most powerful thing that I've ever heard, and just having you guys support us like that, and so I could experience that was just amazing. And mm-hmm. having our youth leaders like Amy and Russell and other Russell and my brother Corey, it's amazing to just have these people support me like that and just
awesome.
Yeah, it was just great.
Shaden, hang on just a second. I want to hear from a leader. Sean's got his hand up.
I think one of the most sobering moments during that whole youth conference, getting back to Reggie Dabbs, he came up there, he gave an altar call to break off suicide. And so the kids started coming. And then more kids start coming. And then more kids start coming. And then more and more and more kids, all the way up from the nosebleed to the front row, they kept coming. And more, and I'm looking at this thing, I was like, what's going on here? You know? They kept coming. They kept coming. They crowded the whole front. And then they start crowding all the way back into the stadium and into the lines. And the kids kept coming. These are church kids now.
Mm-hmm.
That was jaw-dropping. And then Reggie Dabbs, he leaned up and he called out to the youth pastors and the youth leaders. He said, y'all see this? He said, well, we got work to do. Seriously. That was really, really eye-opening experience for me. I mean,
yeah.
Like he said, we got work to do.
Amen. Amen.
Can I just comment on that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If I can. That broke my heart. But the spirit of intercession came on me so strong to just be praying for that number. It was a sea of people, young people down there who have experienced this death sentence on them, this desire no longer to live, that they have no meaning and purpose in life. And so it really sobers me that the things that we say about this generation are so important. And what we say about this generation to God is so important.
Yes.
That we should be on our knees. We should be praying. We should be speaking life and love and hope. It's so important. And that was overwhelming.
Yeah. Jaden.
Hi. at Forward Conference 2017, all the speakers had an impact on me, but Reggie Dabbs was the one that stood out to me. It felt like he was talking directly to me. What you died do?
you got to do that again, because I don't think they caught what you said.
What you died do?
What are you tied to?
Reggie Dabbs had us ask our neighbors and ourselves this question. A lot of people were tied to drugs, alcohol, and suicide, suicidal spirits, but now they're tied to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, anytime that something comes over me that seems stressful or depressing, I just remind myself, hey, what you died?
That's awesome. All right. Okay. You can tell, I mean, there was so much that went on. Like I say, we would stay here all day. And we have to end up cutting off that time at night because it gets to be 11:30, 12 o'clock later. And then we got to get up the next day and go to this conference, you know, or we get to. And so, Cassandra.
And I have a note right here about four class. It says, Andy was my favorite singer, and he talked to us about how his daughter was deaf, and he did sign language for her.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I just wanted to explain a little bit. He's a rapper, and she was taken back by him, to say the least. All we heard about was Andy all weekend. But what he sang about, or he wrote a rap song and created a video for his sister. It's actually his sister, not his daughter, but a video, because he realized in his early 20s, he's making these rap songs and he's getting famous, and he realized he never took the time to learn to sign and get to know his sister. And he was sitting at this big table with all of her friends, and they're all signing, and he realized he didn't have a clue what they were saying. And he said, they're probably talking about me, but I didn't even know. But he was taking responsibility for not caring enough to get to know his own sister, and so he created this and saying, I'm sorry for that. But yeah, that's the song awesome. She's referring to.
Cool.
You're good.
Jessica, you ready? Go for it, Jessica. You got a mic over there.
So I had something wrote down, but that's like, it. I don't think that affected me as much as this did. That kind of goes along. He was writing songs, and then Bethel, some of their music group, was staying in the same hotel we were, and so we got to like meet them in the hotel, and they prayed over me and I think Rachel, mm-hmm. And the thing they prayed over me was for my songwriting. And just writing and being able to use it for the Lord. So that was like a really awesome experience. And knowing that, like, even though they could be like famous in the music world, they're still like so like down to earth, and they just like pray for you, and they love God, and they love everybody out there.
Yeah. Amen. Wesley.
Okay, so when I was at this conference, what I experienced was a complete paradigm shift. It opened to my eyes to things I didn't even know were there. And it's not as lame as I make it sound, but imagine this. Imagine everything's blurry, okay? And you go to the doctor's office and they tell you you need glasses. So you go, you get your eye exam, and then you try on those glasses for the first time, and you're just like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And the conference was really amazing. I think Ben Prescott was probably my favorite speaker. He talked a lot about faith. And one of the things that he said that I will always remember and keep with me is that he was talking about how he was trying skydiving. And they taught him like how to fall, how to hold on to like someone's hands, like to stay close and whatnot. But the one thing they did not teach him was what to do with the parachute. And he went up to him and he's like, instructor, are you not gonna show me how to do this? And the instructor said, no. We don't even know if your parachute's gonna work until you jump out of that plane. And so he said that faith was a lot like that. We often want to know it's safe and then do it. But God was like, do it and I'll show you it's safe.
Yeah.
most important part in that forward conference to me was, like all these other people said, Reggie Dabbs, because like the other speakers, they just talked about God and they would like nonstop go on about how you should do this and do that and how God will do this and that in your life. But Reggie Dabbs, he took a different approach. He didn't just speak, he made it funny, and he made sure that that word got out to everyone. He left no man behind, and he just blessed everyone in that stadium. Because I could tell whenever he left, everyone in that stadium was either cheering, crying out to God, or raising their hands and singing softly. And that's what really spoke to me, because whenever he called out the suicidal people, I went up there too, because I have had some moments where I just decided I don't belong on this earth anymore. But then God showed me that he put me on this earth for a reason, and I still have a purpose to fulfill in life. And also another part was, whenever we were sitting in the hallway, the first person to speak was Amy. She gave a speech about her childhood, and I will say she has had some troubling moments in her life. Yeah, but she told us that no matter what happens, you have to go through it. You have to go through the pain. That's why you have obstacles, so you can become stronger in the Lord and learn to face better obstacles.
Right. Amen.
Let me just say right quick. I shared a little bit of my story with them. But that's because, you know, when God brings you through it, if he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And the thing is, when you're on the other side, when you close up your mouth and don't share your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony is how we overcome. It's also how we help this generation to overcome.
Right. If,
you know, when you grow up and you think that the adults' lives were perfect, then you don't have somebody that you can go to when you go through something. But if you will be a little bit more open with them and say, yes, God brought me to it, but he brought me through it, and here, I'll help you.
Right. All right, Brittany.
Like a lot of the youth here, Reggie Dabbs really spoke to me. And for me, it was a time of where I could heal. Not only was I down there with them, being when he called for the spirit of suicide, because that was something I struggled with for the longest time, and then I also lost someone I loved to suicide, and out there in that hallway, and during everything, it made me realize that I have a lot of people that I can go to for comfort and all of that. So it was a really, really amazing experience for me.
Amen.
I'm not really one to open up to other people about my feelings. So this weekend, I really learned that we're not alone. We have other people that go through things with us, like the suicide. And he also did a thing for the addiction. He had people stand up to be prayed for that addiction to be gone. And it gave us a new beginning. And when we were talking in the hallway, Amy and Russell, they just like came up and hugged me. And I just felt this whole conference that I learned that none of us are alone. We have other people to help us and to lean on.
Yeah. One more. Chris had one more thing.
This is my last thing, but I just wanted to second the word that was spoken over Corey and Taylor this morning. We definitely felt that and learned that at the conference, not only with them, but with every youth leader. And I want to thank the church, because when you support us like that, we got to get closer to every single person here. And we just get closer like a family. And they see you cry, and they see you laugh, and they share their stories with you. And it was just great.
Amen.
Can you hear me? Yeah? No, it was so beautiful. to see all these kids I love that I invest all my time in. It was insanely emotional. It was so powerful. And like my little sister said, she struggled with suicide. I've seen her deal with things that I can't imagine how strong you have to be to go through these things. And same with so many of these kids. And it was really powerful because that's one of the biggest reasons, one of my biggest purposes in life is just to let people know that they're not alone. It's like, that's exactly like, it's a hug, it's a smile, it's a crying together, it's listening. It is something that I'm privileged to get to do with these kids.
Yeah.
And I think we would be doing a disservice to our community here if we didn't extend that. So if I could, I know this might be bold, but if you were delivered of something really strong on your heart and in your life, whether it be depression or suicide, right here, can I see your hands raised? Okay. And I know that there's more in this house that struggle with those same things that they are. So I would like to mobilize you guys. I would like to give you a chance to help people get what you got. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're because now that we're here.
And we're going to do that.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'll lift it. Don't you love it when God puts stuff together?
There you go.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Because the reason that we get to the other side and we keep fighting this is so that we could pull people along.
Right.
And help people through this crazy journey. So do you want to take over?
Yeah, let me do it from that point.
Go ahead.
Real quick. This guy, Corey, has been my assistant and just does such a good job. Because he didn't know, I don't think, completely what I was going to do. So I'm not going to preach a sermon, but Vivian, if you could go to the Luke 24 slide. Because what the biggest theme of this conference was, Amy talking about being an overcomer, identity, purpose, and this kind of thing. You see, Jesus, if you read through this scripture, is that the one? Yeah, that's the one. Thank you. Vivian, such a good job. This is just after the resurrection. Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only and went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. You see, Jesus left the grave clothes in the tomb.
Amen.
Now, I want you to capture that for a minute in relation to what you identify with. Because you have identities, you've got labels, you've got all these words been spoken over you that have brought death to you. Even Jesus himself, his physical body, died a physical death where his body died. There was no life left in it. When he resurrected, he did not bring the representation of death out with him. He left it in the tomb because the tomb is where dead things belong. And so this generation, and I appreciate Corey asking, hey, have you got delivered from something? The grave clothes were left at the tomb and they came out. You can come out new because the scripture says that you're a new creation. Maybe if you go to that, I think there's one other scripture on there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have come. New things have come. So if you're a new creation, leave your grave clothes in the tomb.
Yes.
But like Lazarus, sometimes your friends need to be told, you loose him. And Mary and I were talking before the service. Sometimes people need to be told, you leave them alone.
That's right. Amen.
So, and that's what these leaders come up alongside me for all these years and say, world, Satan, you leave them alone.
Amen.
You loose them. You release them from these grave clothes. They will no longer have hold on them any longer. And we declare freedom over them. And so what I do want to do is I want them to line up across the front here. That's you guys. If you're comfortable with it, I'll put that on you. And leaders, I'd like y'all to kind of connect with some of them. Because I cannot think of a better way to end this time and end this service than have the young people you just heard minister. That's what they did. They shared their testimony to pray over you. Because there are, Charlie, can I get you to come play some music or something?
Thank you, Charlie. And I appreciate Charlie and the team. You know, we threw a lot of brand new songs at the worship team this week, and a couple of us joined in, and I appreciate the opportunity to minister with them, but thank you, Charlie. He was spot on. But again, I asked you at the beginning of this if you'd be willing to pray expectantly and listen expectantly. Remember that? So what Corey said earlier, we're going to put action to that now. So if there's been any of this kind of stuff that you have struggled with, and maybe it's not that, maybe it's something else, but it's time for you to leave the grave clothes in the tomb, then I'm going to just challenge you to step out from where you are and come let a young person with an adult pray over you. Yes.
I have an instruction for you.
Do you need this, Stephen?
Not your prayer. Okay. It's not your prayer. It's his life lived. So don't worry about what you are going to say, because the work has been done by him.
Thank you.
Amen. Bye. Amen. So the altar is open. You may need physical healing. You may need emotional and mental healing. You may need relationships restored. I don't know what it is, but I know the Lord does. So we're asking these young people just to be obedient to the Spirit of God.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, ma'am.
You know, this is a house of healing. Mm. I need some of you to work in healing rooms. The Lord has been dealing with me for quite some time about asking the youth to come into healing rooms. So I think this is the time.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. So again, and I say this, this church has over the years and years and years been so supportive of youth, youth ministry, some of the crazy things we go through, walk through, and decide to take on as an adventure. And so this has been, we got just a couple of things and we're done. Michelle had something, and Lori has a testimony. As youth pastor, I just want to say thank you. I was really hoping I wouldn't do that today, but y'all don't make it any better. Thank y'all. Actually, they make it a lot better. Amen. What encouraged me was the fact that they had people like Reggie. You heard how popular Reggie Dabbs was? He's 54. Jensen Franklin's 55. So what was cool, my daughter and Russell Sellers is, be 55 in September. But what is encouraging, what I heard this group say more than once was, the older people said it in a way that I could understand it. They did not talk down to me. So let me encourage adults, don't talk down to these guys. They get enough of that. Some of them get it at home. They do not need to ever get it at church. We do our best to create an environment in the youth ministry where kids can feel welcome, part of the family, regardless of where they're at or what mess they're involved in. And aren't you glad that your mess and what you're involved in is not put on the screen? I'm glad. But we heard a young lady just this past Sunday at youth, because I said, we strive to do this. And she interrupted and she said, you already have. Because ever since I've been coming here, I've felt that way. I felt welcomed. I felt a part of this group and this family. So it gives me hope that we will see it again. In the years of youth ministry that I've had, I have seen God do miraculous things in lives of teenagers for generations, and that now some of them married and got kids and all this kind of thing. But the Lord told me at that conference that don't worry, you'll see it again. I moved a mountain, I'll do it again. So I'm not worried about the generation, even though there are days where I'm just like, what the heck are you doing? And why are you doing it? But there is hope for this generation, guys. There really, really is. So don't give up on them. Value them. This one, Wesley, he was one of my roommates at the conference. And here's what he challenged me with. He stopped me one day, said, hey, Russell. And here's the way he put it. Are you going to walk home the same way you came? I drove down here, and dude, that's a long walk. I'm probably going to go home. And that wasn't what he meant. He said, no, I mean, are you going to go home the same person as when you came to this conference? He said, okay, preacher, no, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. So anyway, go ahead, honey.
This is the scripture the Lord gave me this morning, and it was on the video, which I didn't even know it was there, but 1 Peter 2:9, this is what we're speaking over. And this includes your generation. I thought it was just for the youth this morning, but this is for every generation. Maybe your generation got a label too. Maybe yours was
love and the hippie and drugs, and maybe it was something else. You know, they're all technology, but I just want to remove that label off the generations, and let's say what God says about the generation. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He has made you royalty, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Do we have any peculiar people in here? That you would show forth his praises, because he has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Declare that over your generation, and declare it over this generation, Amen. Not the other labels that our society can give them.
Amen. Lori?
I need my boys down here.
Boys.
I was sitting in the back, and these are my boys. This is Michael. This is Wesley. When the youth started to share, and somebody brought up the spirit of suicide, immediately the Holy Spirit started to deal with me, because I've had suicidal thoughts my whole life. When he was 5 months old, my father shot and killed himself, okay? And I knew then that it was up to me to stand in the gap for my children, because I knew that there was a spirit of suicide over my family. And as these kids started to speak, the Holy Spirit said, it is broken. To hear my son say the things that he said broke my heart. But God said, it is broken, and it's broken now. So I declare the spirit of suicide over this county to be broken in the name of Jesus. I declare it right now. And I ask you all to keep our family in prayer, because we are going through some major spiritual, what word would you use?
Major spiritual warfare.
And restructuring,
readjusting.
Deep roots being pulled, new roots being put down.
But most of all, chains being broken.
Chains being broken. Thank you. Amen.
Yes. Sure.
This was so humbling. Church, thank you. Thank you for getting out of your seats and coming up here and letting these young people witness and minister to you. You, thank you for listening to the Lord and for being obedient.
Yes.
Every one of you are called for a purpose. You have people here to love you. I don't know, most of you I don't know at all. But I'm going to say this because God is speaking to me to say this to you. There are people here that may not have families at home, that may not have a mom or dad or whatever, someone to love them and make them feel worthy. But you have it at this church. Yes. You have it. Never be ashamed to go up to somebody to seek someone out, because they are here for you.
Yes.
I'm almost 50 years old, and I know what it's like to be alone. My own mother, the only thing she said that she did for me was give me life. I now have a somewhat relationship with her, but I know how much that hurts. I do. But never let what someone else says build up in you to think you're not worthy, because that is a lie from Satan.
Yes.
That is a lie. Don't listen to the lies. You have people here. Lean on them. And one more thing, scripture that God gave me is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. When that fear comes in you, it is not from the Lord. Don't listen to it. He gives us love.
Amen.
You take that, you run with that. You lift each other up. You continue to be there for one another, because there is nothing more special than the bond of friendship and love, especially in Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. This has been good. I'm going to read one thing, and I promise. How many closings do pastors usually do before one actually takes? I'm just asking. My dad taught me early on that when a pastor does this, you know what that means? Not one thing. So I didn't take mine off. I think it's important that we close with this reading because, Jessica, where are you at? Don't hide back there. Jessica is a writer. It was no coincidence that the Bethel Praise team stayed in the same hotel we did, that Reggie Dabbs stayed in the same hotel we did. God just worked stuff out. But Jessica did not know that I was going to talk about Jesus and grave clothes and this kind of thing. But she wrote this, and Amy called me yesterday like an excited mom would, and I was excited. So here's what she wrote. It doesn't matter what your situation is. If you're feeling troubled and all alone, there is one person, a supernatural someone that will never leave your side. Now you're probably wondering who. I'll tell you who. That supernatural someone is God. No matter where you are, God is with you. When you're in the Holy Spirit, you can feel his presence. Hey, maybe you grew up in church and got lost. It is really easy to get lost in a world of false direction. Maybe you never knew God, knew who God was growing up. Maybe someone told you about God, invited you to church. Maybe you went to church with him, maybe 10 other people didn't. Maybe this is your first time hearing about God. Let me tell you right now, he is an amazing God. He is the one true God. He is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Cool, right? God sent his only son, Jesus, as flesh to grow from boy to man on earth. He sent Jesus to tell everyone about how awesome God is. He sent Jesus to heal people, to teach people, to do miracles. God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could live in him. Want to know something even cooler than that? Okay. Jesus isn't dead. God isn't dead. Jesus rose and left the grave behind him, so can you. All you have to do is ask him into your heart. Yeah, it's that easy. Read your Bible and obey God's word. Isn't it awesome to know that even when it doesn't feel like it, there's always someone with you through your journey? Amen. Pastor Terry.
Young Guns. Young Guns. Aren't you glad that God is on the move in youth and in this house? God's doing tremendous work. He really is. All he's wanting to do is have a vessel to do it through.
Yeah.
Look at all these vessels that the future has. The future is not gone. The future is right ahead of us. It's right in front of us.
Right.
And I am grateful for the leaders, grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for all the youth. And I'm excited. I really am. Our greatest days are beyond this point.
Yes.
They really are. But I want to share one thing, and will you give me, I know it's 12:23, will you give me 5 minutes? When God works, you need to take notice. And you need to ponder what it is that God's doing in your midst and not say, oh, well, just another day. It's not just another day. Today was not just another day. Time is his. They're not going to run out of food at the restaurants, I promise. They're really not. If they do, come see me. I'll feed you. But I met a man this morning for the first time. Saw him walking in, limping, barely moving. And he just walked in. First time to meet him today. And his name's Marvin. Don't even know his last name. I looked at him and said, it's good to see you, sir. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm not doing good. My arms are hurting, my legs, I can't hardly walk. And he said, my body's just in bad shape. And instantly, the Lord said, do not hesitate. Do not wait. Do not hesitate. Pray for him. And I asked him, I said, can I pray for you? And I started praying for that man. We're standing right back there at the back. I started praying for this man. And I saw his countenance begin to change. And we parted. And it was about 4 or 5 minutes later, maybe 10, something like that, Marvin came back up to me and said, can I speak with you a second? And I said, sure. He said, I feel better. He said, my legs are not hurting me. I feel better. My whole body is feeling better. And I said, that's the power of Jesus. And he said, can I talk to you? And we sat right down, right back where Billy is now, and just began a conversation. And he started telling me his story about where he is in life, about what's happened to him, and about his condition in life. And I asked him, I said, do you know the Lord? And the most honest answer came out of him, of all the people you ever asked, of I've ever asked. He said, you know, I think I've been delusional about a lot of things with God. And I don't really believe I've ever been born again. I've been in church. He's been in several churches and know a lot of things that's going on in church. He said, but honestly, I don't think I've ever had that experience. And I asked him, I said, do you want to be? And I said, don't want to take you anywhere you don't want to go. Don't want to go through a ritual. Don't want you to repeat a prayer. I don't want you to do any of that. All I want to know is, do you have a desire for God in your life to receive him for payment of your sin? Brother Doug came and led him to the Lord. Marvin, is he still here? He's already left. He must have left with Terry. He's in the grace of God. I wish he was still here. I'd love for you to meet him. But what he lives in Florida. He's stuck in North Carolina. It's not a place to be stuck, but he's not home to him. And I said, well, and part of his story is his car's impounded. He's had a rough life, a rough time. The car's impounded, and he needs $886 to get it out so he can go home. He's homeless here. So, you know, we acknowledge, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from these guys. I'm really not. But I am really honoring God. God works, and he's an elderly gentleman. God works in mysterious ways. He really does. From birthing somebody who is already up in age and barely can get around, to inspiring young people to just live for Jesus and just give your life to him. So, as we close, I would like to take up an offering. I don't need people to come down. I want you to just bring your offering. I want you to lay it right up here on this altar. And let's help this man get his car. I don't know. But I feel God's compassion for him to show him that he is loved. The Bible said, I was a stranger and you took me in. And he said, if you've done it in the least of one of these, you've done it to Jesus. You've done it to Jesus. So I would like to, as we dismiss, thank you for responding. God, thank you for the heart of your people. And I ask you to meet the needs of Marvin. God, this has been an awesome, awesome day.
Yes.
And I thank you for it.
Amen.
Let's all stand to our feet and you can continue to come. Yeah, you want to do that?
I want to, if it's okay. Okay. While you're walking, if you will, let's just extend our hands this way. I want to pray over this, the leaders and the group. You guys are awesome. We enjoyed everything. I tell you, it spoke to me. But I do, my wife, we had felt the same way. Just wanted to pray over you guys, if it's okay.
It'd be all right.
The reason why I was prompted to pray for you all is because I wrote down a whole lot of things that you said, and the main thing was when Sean said, he looked at the group and he said, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought, God, these leaders need prayer. They need the hand of God on them. And what I mean by that is when God may prompt you to pray more. He may prompt you to study more. One of the young people said, there's a paradigm shift going on. We're praying and we're asking God. I don't know how nobody else feel, but I'm like, God, I'm tired of church. God, yeah. Change has got to come.
Yes.
We may think that change is coming somewhere else. It may be you. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to pray for the leaders, and I wanted us to pray for the leaders, that God will cover you.
Yes.
And that because the more that you reach out to him, the more attack is coming. Yes, we know that God is victorious and we're going to win. But sometimes when we're hit in the battle, it could knock some of us to our feet. So I just want to pray over Amen. All of you all. I want us to pray over all of you all today.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank yes. you today, Lord. And God, we thank you for Pastor Terry. We thank you, Lord God, for the leadership of this house, Lord. And God, we pray for the leaders of this youth ministry, yes. Father. God, this generation that would touch so many people, Lord.
Yes.
And God, what you have instilled within them through this conference, Lord. God, I pray that it will awaken them, Lord, yes. that it will cause others to be awakened. Now, Father, we pray over these leaders, Lord, that you will give them divine wisdom, Lord, and revelation, Father. God, give them creativities, Father. God, that will be stirred within them, Father. God, we pray, God, that you will give them answers to this generation, Father. To God, to where people won't run just to them, but they will run to the God
yes.
that they serve. And Father, we ask you for release right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We loose the very words that you have placed in them that as they share with other youth, Father, we will see an awakening take place, Father,
yes.
throughout each and every one of these generations, Father, that's represented here today. And Lord, we know, Father, that you are at work, God, within them. And Lord, we just lift up this leadership, Russell and Michelle, and Lord, so many of these leaders, God, that have just given their lives to just serve this generation. Father, we pray that you will grace them with strategies, Father, that will go beyond what they imagine or think according to the power that's working in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your response, and we'll see you again. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.